I'll take it in, but don't look down.
'Cause I'm on top of the world, hey. I'm on top.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to JJ's Football Fix, the A-League Hour. My name is Jordan Giffords, and alongside me is the slippery gypsy, Jake Watt. Hello, how are you?
Hey, mate, how are you?
Bloody beautiful. That's what I am. today's episode...
I didn't answer how I am. I'm great, thank you.
Today's episode 24 of the A-League Hour, the podcast we've been doing now for 24 weeks, so bloody beautiful, Jake. Said that twice already. What do I think?
Delicious.
Yeah.
Cheers, Bruce.
Today we've got a bit of a talkative episode, as we do on a podcast. We always talk, and that's what we do. We've got the finals to look into, Jake. Last voting for the player of the season is today. So you're not going to find out the winner, but you'll find out who we're giving our votes to this week. As well as, you know, the NAB Young Player of the Year voting has opened, and we'll discuss the prospects and who we think is going to win that one, and talk about each individual, as well as, you know, have a look over the teams that are not competing in the final series this season, the likes of Adelaide, Newcastle, Central Coast and Wellington Phoenix. We'll grade their season and just see what went wrong, what went right, and what's going to happen for them next season, Jake. So a bit of a bumper episode this week, much more to talk about than previous episodes after the A-League was becoming a bit dire, but it's good we've got finals upon us and can really look forward to the A-League in the weeks to come. But without further ado, Jake, let's cast our minds back to almost a week ago on the 14th of April, Melbourne Victory hosting Central Coast in the opening game of the round. It took to the 80th minute though, Jake, but Bessa Barisha did pop up and score his 100th goal in the A-League, the first player to do so. So congratulations to Barisha, arguably one of the best players to ever play in the A-League. Statistically speaking, he is. I mean, no one's scored 100 goals in the A-League yet, apart from him. So good stuff. Mm. Great assist from Jai Ingham. Fantastic composure just to pass it to him in a much better position than Ingham was. I think Ingham about a year ago probably would have just shot that. But, you know,
Probably about a week ago, which is for sure.
But a bit of composure on him, a bit more experience now, and he's picked him out just in the middle for a tap in. Great play. Troisi, 7 shots on goal, no goals. Back to his old doings. but yeah, deserved victory for victory. Central Coast looked threatening in parts. Paul Izzo was outstanding in this one, must be said. As he has been all season when he's played, Jake. I know you were at the game. I did watch in the parts. I'd like to hear your take on the game.
Yes, a very frustrating game, but I couldn't care less, realistically. Like I said last week, we sort of just try and limp into the finals. We've done about 4 or 5 years in a row where we just sort of, for the last month, take the foot off the pedal and just sort of glide into the finals. But, yeah, it's good to get a win. We don't usually win the last game of the season. I think it's 2 times in the last 6 seasons or 7 seasons that we've won the last game of the season. So good to get the win. It wasn't a great performance. Central Coast did turn up and they really wanted the win, in all fairness to them, and they gave it a good old shake of the sauce bottle. But yeah, I'm just happy to get a win, realistically. I didn't really want to go into the final, especially get the goal as well. I didn't want to go into the finals with a 6-hour goal drought. That would have been a bit concerning going into a final against probably Melbourne City or Brisbane Roar or something like that. So, yeah, but it's disappointing to see Central Coast sort of take the foot off the pedal towards the end of the season as well, because they could have really pushed on and made it a much more respectable season. But if you look at their overall tally of 16 losses out of 27 games, it doesn't look too good for them. But hopefully they can get up to better things next season.
Yeah, we'll talk about their season in review a little bit later on. Some positive signs there, like you said. They did take their foot off the pedal, though, which was a shame. But good young core will help them in the future. Jake, Sydney FC record-breaking team here. Got the most points ever in an A-League season, 66 out of a possible 81. It's an incredible effort. And they cemented this with a win against Newcastle on Saturday. Ninkovic scoring a tap in the 56th minute before Alex Brosk in the 87th minute made it 2-0. And that was all she wrote. Sydney enjoying a bulk of the possession and more shots, but they went without their scares. Andrew Nabu, a player that we've talked highly of this season, almost a breakout season for him in parts, missed a penalty in the 42nd minute. Should that have gone in, it could have been a very different game, but unfortunately for him, he's just missed the goal. And from there, it was just Sydney. So unfortunate for them, but good signs for Newcastle in this game. I thought they were pretty competitive for the most part. Obviously, getting 0-0 to half time, anything could have happened after that. Unfortunately for Newcastle, things did happen. Sydney took control of the game even more. And a big credit does go for Sydney. Clearly, the best team in the league this season. Most consistent, obviously. 66 points, Jake, is a new record and a deserved record. They had this, you know, iffy moments throughout the season where, you know, games could have gone against them and games that shouldn't really have gone for them. You know, thinking off the top of my head, the controversial matches against Victory, Western Sydney as well. But at the end of the day, they got their points, they got their wins, and they got the most points, Jake. So the question that has been, you know, thrown out to everybody is this the best team the A-League has ever seen? And obviously it's hard to compare them to Brisbane Roar, just based on the fact Brisbane Roar went on to win the championship that season. So if Sydney can go on to win the championship, then it could be a case for it. Based on a regular season, obviously with the record-breaking tally, they are the best team in that regard. But it'd be interesting game to watch, this Sydney FC versus that Brisbane Roar team, Jake.
Yeah, well, it's probably a bit, that one's probably very, very biased. But I wouldn't mind seeing a bit of a round robin between those two teams and Victory Season 2 team as well. Because being a long-time Victory fan as well, our Season 2 team was ridiculously good with Allsop, Fred, Thompson, Musket and co. just going nuts all season. But I don't think they were, I don't think our Season 2 team were the best team of any A-League team, but I think our Season 2 team was very good. And my take on that as well is I don't yet think this Sydney FC team does overtake the Brisbane team, just on the basis Brisbane's team did go 36 games unbeaten and Brisbane's team did win two titles as well. So I'm not ready to say anything on that just yet, because if Sydney, I think Sydney will win the comp, but if Sydney come out and don't win the title, then it's not even a conversation topic, because although their season has been fantastic, if they don't finish it off and win the title, no one remembers who didn't win the title. It's all good and well being great throughout the season, but throughout 100 plus years in the AFL and 100 plus years in the NRL and stuff, no one ever remembers the team that doesn't win the grand final. Like Geelong in 2008, they lost one game all season. Nobody looks back in 2008 and thinks about Geelong. They think about Hawthorn winning the comp.
Yeah.
So until they complete the whole thing, it's not even a conversation topic for me yet, because, like I said, if they don't win the whole thing, then nobody realistically remembers what Sydney FC have done this season. Mm. And everyone remembers what Brisbane Roar did, because they went on and won two titles in a row. They went 36 games unbeaten. They were scoring 3 to 4 goals every single game and just completely dismantling teams. So that's my take on that. But on this game, Sydney deserved the win. It was disappointing seeing Newcastle finish off their season the way they have, because I don't think they've deserved to finish last, but they have. And the disappointing thing for me is we're giving them a lot of praise throughout the whole season, but if I'm blatantly honest, Nabu has been absolutely dreadful over the last 2 months. And I have a feeling if he had a push on the last 3 months and kept that consistency up, he could be well up for conversation topics for well up in the conversation for Socceroos almost, if he had kept up that form. But over the last 2 months, in my opinion, he has been very, very, very poor.
Well, that's what we said. leading to that Socceroos camp, that he was in that picture probably a month before, and that three or four games before the squads were picked, he just started this sort of downward spiral. And just from then on, he just kept sort of stagnating, you know, in poor performances. And it's a shame. He had a purple patch. I mean, I don't know if the purple patch is just a rare form rise for him or if that's his actual class and he had a form dip for the rest of the season. But
well, that is him. That's literally Andrew Nabu, because he did the exact same for Melbourne Victory. And I don't want to say, I want Andrew Nabu to stay at Newcastle and continue to do what he did at the start of this season. But for Melbourne Victory, he came out and set everyone alight and everything like that with his brace in the last 5 minutes against Sydney away and became a cult hero instantly. And then he scored like three or four goals in the next five or six games for us. And then he literally did nothing for us for the rest of his time at the club. And I really, really hope similar doesn't happen at Newcastle. I hope he comes out next season and continues it for 27 weeks of just consistently battling out every single week. But I don't know, like what I've seen of Nabu this season is exactly what I saw from Nabu 3 to 4 years ago at Melbourne Victory as well. So hopefully he proves me wrong and hopefully he goes on and does very well next season. But it's disappointing because of how highly we were talking about him, say, about 2 or 3 months ago. Well done to Sydney FC. They've been fantastic all season. Clearly the best team all season. And I hope they don't, but I reckon it's going to be very hard to stop them in the finals.
Adelaide United hosting Western Sydney here. A game of two halves, as the old saying goes. Literally, Adelaide 2 goals in the first half. Western Sydney 2 goals in the second half. A 2-2 draw. Karuska and McGowan scoring for Adelaide. Dimas and Lustica scoring for Western Sydney. A game in which Adelaide's manager Armour thinks, I don't know his first name, I think Adelaide should have won. Statistically speaking, yes, probably double the amount of shots on target, 60% of the ball. Realistically, you'd think that's probably enough, but at the end of the day, it was a draw in a pretty good performance from Adelaide, to be honest. They were, as we've been touching on all season, very average all season, but their last sort of month to 2 months has been quite impressive, and I think this one adds just to another bow to their more reputable end to the season, just getting a bit of respect back from, you know, fans and the competition alike. They can play football, and the Asian Champions League form at the moment is another testament to that. So just an unfortunate season for Adelaide. Still a good team in many cases. Just, you know, half the season pretty much just didn't play at all. And I think that came back to bite them in the ass, because I reckon should they have started the season as they ended it, they definitely would have been in discussion for the finals.
100%.
Western Sydney, on the other hand, they also sort of started the season very faintly, I would say. They weren't really at their best for a while, but, you know, towards the end of the season, another team that really kicked on. And this game, probably arguably the two teams that were the most in form in regards to improvement in the last month to 2 months of the season, coming up against each other, and a pretty good game of football. So, as it says, Adelaide finished second last. Western Sydney now playing finals. A good game of football, Jake.
Yeah, it was a very good game, actually. It literally was a game of two halves. Adelaide were by far the better team in the first half, and then Western Sydney were by far the better team in the second half. And I think both teams deserved a point out of it, and both teams got a point out of it. Just what you hit the nail on the head, really. If Adelaide turn up the way they've turned up the last two and a half months and play like that consistently throughout the whole season, could be a completely different story for them, because they were horrible. The worst I've probably ever seen an Adelaide United team play in the first 3 or so months of the season. But they really did pick it up late in the season, obviously too little too late. But hopefully they can kick on and do something in the Champions League for their sake. It's just weird looking at Adelaide as well. With the squad they've got, they should be playing finals. With players like Karuska, Sirio, Alridge, Galekovic in goals, they've got a fair few decent young players as well. Realistically, if you look throughout their squad, they should be playing finals this season. But I guess it's just they won their first ever title last season, and I reckon a fair few of them just got on the piss a bit too hard for a bit too long, I guess.
Premiership hangover.
Yeah, well, literally. Yeah, they'll be back there next season. They've already signed Paul Izzo, who we both rate extremely highly. So that's already a massive signing for them, and I'm sure they'll make a fair few more decent signings throughout the whole off-season. Yeah, and Western Sydney, they've got finals to look forward to. Don't know how deep into the finals they will go into. We'll have a chat about that later on, but they've also got Champions League to finish off as well, which I don't think they're going to get out of their group, but you don't want to get completely embarrassed. You want to go out of the Champions League with some sort of dignity, so I'm sure they'll be looking to resurrect their Champions League as much as they possibly can.
And hopefully they do. Brisbane Roar versus Wellington Phoenix. Just another game of two halves, really, isn't it? Krishna opened the score in the 6th minute, as he has been doing all season for Wellington. What a player he is for them. The Fijian monkey.
How did he not win their player of the season? Just quietly.
Who won their player of the season?
Barbara Rusev.
Yeah. Brett Holman in the 21st minute brought it back to deadlock at 1-1 before Finkler and McGlinchey scored within 3 minutes of each other to make it 3-1 at the half for Wellington Phoenix and looked like smooth sailing in a very controversial game. Borrello then in the 51st minute scoring a great goal. He's been fantastic this season. Jamie McLaren in the 53rd minute scored his goal to tie the golden boot before Brett Holman in the 67th minute just scored another great goal to make it 4-3. That second half from Brisbane was just tantalising stuff, really. Brisbane win 4-3 in this one. Great game of football, Jake. Had heaps of goals, heaps of shots. Possession was very even. Chances for each side to win the game. Just what you wanted in football. And funnily enough, 7-goal game wasn't even the most goals scored on a Sunday. So
it was an interesting Super Sunday.
Really good game though, Jake. And Jay McLaren, big credit to him. He joins in the golden boot with Bess Arborisha. Brett Holman, we haven't seen much of him this season just due to injury and form, but he showed his class in this one and why he was a Premier League player some years ago. I'm not sure how long ago, maybe like 10 years. But Brendan Borrello continuing his rise as one of the up-and-coming stars of the A-League and Australian football. So really good from Brisbane, and a good turnaround for them, and it'll be keeping in good stead heading into the finals this weekend, Jake.
Yeah, it was a very weird game. I thought Western Sydney, I thought Wellington would get the chockies out of this. Because, in all fairness, they're probably reasonably similar, in a reasonably similar conversation to Adelaide. They started the season horribly, but over the last 2 to 3 months, they've really picked up and got some really good results. But, yeah, Brisbane just went bang in the second half and got the win. And, well, I think Brisbane deserved it, really. They were the better team overall for the whole game. But, yeah, well, I think that story of Wellington's season, they, as good as they play, they just don't know how to grind out results. And they, like, I don't know, if you look throughout Wellington's team, they've got some really good players going forward and stuff, but they don't really have a solid centre-back or someone like that that, like, can make the players just relax, realistically. Like, Victory have a lot of players at the back. Sydney have a lot of players at the back who can just tell their young players and their fiery players just to relax a little bit. And I think that's what Wellington lack. Like, I know that it's impossible for them to go out and get him, but, well, not impossible, but I highly doubt he would come to the A-League yet. But if they were to go out and get, like, a Winston Reid and chuck him at centre-back and give him the armband and stuff, that would be awesome for Wellington, and it would make them just relax, realistically, when they get those sort of leads. Because when they were up 3-0, 2-0 against Victory, they were going a bit nuts, and Victory, if they could have, would have put them away. So I guess that's sort of what Wellington were lacking throughout the whole season, really, because they didn't really have too much of... Wait, is Duranto retired, I think? Duranto retired? And, like, for the last few seasons, they've had Duranto and Sigmund at centre-back, and they're not class centre-backs, but they know how to relax a young defence and everything like that as well, so...
Well, this game, they started Vince Lear and Rossi at centre-back.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So that's something Wellington can look at in the off-season. They've got a long off-season to look forward to. But I think they'll come back reasonably good next season. But Brisbane, they finished third. I didn't have them finishing third this season. I definitely had both Melbourne teams and Sydney FC as the top three this season. So Brisbane have done very, very well to sneak into third there. And I'd be very surprised if they don't get the win this week as well. But it's good to see McLaren get the golden boot as well, alongside Bessart Berisha.
Well, he had the chance, McLaren, to win it outright.
Yeah, he did.
Missed a penalty, so...
But realistically, if you look throughout the whole season, both McLaren and Berisha have missed a lot of chances as well, and so has Fornaroli. So
yeah,
I guess it all works out in the end. But yeah, you're right, you didn't have a chance to win the golden boot outright. But well done to Brisbane getting the result. And Brett Holman, I think, has been, when he's been playing, I think he's been a very good player, just a very good wise head to have in the midfield for Brisbane as well. So it's a good signing of the day for them. And it'll be good to see, well, not good, but it'll be interesting to see how Brisbane go next season as well without Thomas Bruch there for the first time in 7 seasons.
What a player he's been for Brisbane. Interesting fact from this game, though, before we move on to the last game. Hamish Watson subbed on in the 78th minute, subbed off in the 87th. So not a 9-minute cameo for him. The last game here, Jake, Perth Glory 5, Melbourne City 4. Diego Castro opened the scoring in the 5th minute for Timmy Cahill in the 21st minute, made it 1-1. Surprisingly, 9 goals in this game and just 2 in the first half. The 7 in the second half, I believe, broke the record for the most goals in a half of football in A-League history. So it would make sense. Really. I mean, 7 goals in a half of football is pretty crazy.
To go, what, every, like, 7 minutes or something?
Andy Keogh, 50th minute, made it 2-1. Chris Harold made it 3-1 in the 56th minute. Marinkovic made it 4-1 in the 75th minute. And we were looking at this one thinking, is Perth Glory going to get a home final against Melbourne City? That turned on its head very quickly. Timmy Cahill in the 80th minute made it 4-2. Colazzo made it 4-3 in the 84th. And it looked dead and buried before Taggart popped up and made it 5-3 in the 88th minute. And there was still a slight glimmer before Liam Reddy just went on a run. Copped the goal. 5-4 Fitzgerald in the 90th minute. And that was that. 5-4 Jake, Perth Glory getting the win. Mm. But it does not really mean too much for them. 48 shots on goal in this one. Probably up there with the most shots combined in a game of football. Melbourne City's sole 28 shots on goal would be up there with the most ever for an A-League side. Probably think of a few potentially this season. Maybe close to the mark, but not quite 28. Only 7 on target, so that was something else. But one of the games of the round for... Not because of the quality on the pitch, but just because of how many goals were involved. More so one of the games of the season for that stake. But, an interesting game, Jake. I remember turning this one on as it's gone 4-1 and thinking, could there be one more goal to, make or break Perth Glory's season? And it turns out there was another 4. So, great viewing. Big result. Not really.
That was a weird, very weird game of football. But I guess it's sort of what the A-League needed at the same time as well, because the A-League has been lacking a bit of entertainment over the last month or so, as we said last week. And then to have this amount of goals in 2 games on the Sunday to cap off the home and away season, I think is perfect for the A-League, because... Yeah, like I said, it was starting to lack a bit of entertainment, so I'm okay with it. Liam Reddy going a bit of a goalie run to end the season is a bit of a laugh as well. They deserve the win, Perth, but yeah, very weird game of football, and I don't really know what to say on it. Like, there's nothing I can really say on it. You basically covered everything because there were so many goals. It was just so fucking, like I said about 10 times, it's just a very, very, very weird game of football, Jordan. It'll be interesting to see if they can produce similar this weekend when they play against each other.
Interestingly enough, Jake, I've just looked at the table. If Perth Glory had lost this game, they would have been facing Brisbane away as opposed to Melbourne City away. So, yeah, I don't know.
Just a little fun fact for those playing at home.
Exactly right, mate. Let's have a look at the table, the final table for the end of the season. Sydney FC finished top, 66 points, as we've mentioned, a record. Melbourne Victory second on 49 points. Brisbane actually closed the gap on Victory towards the end of the season to 7, which is a good effort by them. Melbourne City fourth on 39, alongside Perth on 39 and fifth. Western Sydney, 36 points. That's top six. That's the final teams. The teams that missed out this season, Wellington on 30, Central Coast on 23, Adelaide on 23, and Newcastle on 22. Newcastle getting the wooden spoon this season. Let's see if this has not the right stats for goals. As per bloody usual, because this is just a ridiculously bad app, Jake. hating on life. Not quite. Just, yeah. The winner of the gold, we said, Bressart Berisha, alongside... Berisha. No. 19 goals to Berisha and McLaren each. Bruno Fornaroli came in third. Surprisingly, didn't score in that game against Perth, despite his side scoring 4. Must be said, a poor season from him, Jake. Very underperforming season. Even though he came third in the Golden Boot, realistically, I don't know, we didn't really see much of him this season. It's weird. Bobo, good season.
He scored about 15 penalties.
Yeah. Bobo came in fourth with 15 goals. Brendan Santelab in fifth with 14. Andy Keogh, Roy Krishna, Marco Rojas, Diego Castro, and Adam Taggart all scoring 12. How good was that for Perth, by the way? Three players scoring 12 goals. Fantastic effort for them. In the assist, Rojas, the dish master this season with 11. Ninkovic finished with 10. Nico Martinez, Chris Howard both had 8 assists. Mitch Nichols, Bruce Comeau at 7. Castro and Troisi 6. So good season for all those players, Jake.
It's incredible.
Player of the season, mate. I know I haven't got the final things up at the moment, but
what's that one?
Let's. I don't know, man. That fucking dumb phone. It's just pissed me off. I had the whole leaderboard there, and then all of a sudden, no, fuck yeah. We can do the votes this week, though, Jake, and we will. So, Jake, let's start off with one vote. In the last round of the season, who are you giving a single vote to?
A single vote, Jordan. I'm going to give it to Jay McLaren for getting a goal. I know he missed the penalty, but he's... actually, I'm going to give one vote each to Jay McLaren and Bessart Berisha. Both of them winning the Golden Boot, both of them getting a goal this week. They've both had very good seasons, and they get my one vote each, Jordan.
Jake, my single vote this week goes to Paul Izzo. For having a big performance in goal against the Victory. Couldn't quite keep a clean sheet, couldn't quite win the game, but he made a few stunning saves, most notably off Troisi. Outrageous save. It's just testament to him and his ability and his season. To be honest, he was one of my favourite players to watch this season, and he's a goalkeeper, so very good.
My two votes, Jordan, this week goes to Tim Cahill, leading 2 decent goals against Perth Glory. He's really picked up his form late this season and could lead a charge for Melbourne City to have a crack at the title this season.
Wouldn't that be?
It'd be interesting. In my head right now, I can just see a Melbourne Derby Grand Final. I can see City going to Sydney in the semi-final, potentially beating them. You never know. Stranger things have happened, Jordan. Yeah, be interested to see what happens.
My two votes this week go to Brandon Borello for his big performance for Brisbane. Believe he scored 1 and assisted 2, I think. He's one of the most up-and-coming footballers, one of the best up-and-coming footballers in Australian football at the moment. And I think he didn't start the season very well, but his end of season form was fantastic. And credit to him, he's going to be a great player one day, Jake.
Yeah, you'd hope so, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm.
My three votes this week goes to the Sydney FC captain, Alex Brosk, getting another goal. And I think he's been a very underrated player towards what Sydney FC have done this season. He's just one of those players. Like, he finishes everything, basically, that he gets given in the 18-yard box. And a very good creative player to sit behind the striker. So he's been very good all season. He was very good in this win for Sydney again against Newcastle. And he gets my three votes. Jordan.
My three votes this week go to Brett Holman from Brisbane Roar for scoring a double. Two very fantastic goals and a testament to his ability as a footballer that we have not yet seen to a high degree this season, but good that it's come out potentially at the right time for him and Brisbane. That was good stuff. Leaderboard's not here, so that'll come. We'll announce the winner of the Player of the Season before the grand final in a couple of weeks' time. That's all she wrote for around 20, well, episode 24, around 27 of the A-League.
The home and away season.
Jake, let's talk about, before we crack on with a bit of a review of a few of the teams in the league, let's quickly talk about the NAB Young Footballer of the Year. We can talk about just each individual, who we think, you know, should win, who we feel like got a bit hard done by missing out. I'll just go through the past winners of the award, the more notable ones. McLaren, obviously, won it last year. Breakout season for him. Prior to that, Jimmy Jago, his season at Adelaide after his move from Victory. He's obviously gone on to play in Austria, starting every week for Sturm, Grew, and been in and around the Socceroos squad. Adam Taggart, when he was at Newcastle in the Golden Boot, obviously went on to play in England. Didn't get much of a chance now back at Perth. Marco Rojas won it in 2012-13. I believe that was his big season before he went to Stuttgart, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan won it the two previous seasons before him. And, you know, we all know about Matt Ryan playing now in Belgium, but had stints at Valencia. Easily Australia's best goalkeeper. Tommy Orr before that. Scott Jamieson before that. Bruce Gitte won it. Adrian Leo won it. And Nick Ward won it. Can't say I heard much about Ward after that, but...
played for about 9 different clubs.
Yeah, Adrian Leo, obviously a great servant Victory. Bruce Gitte for Adelaide as well, still playing. I think he's in like Malaysia or something. Scott Jamieson at the moment playing in, I think it's Belgium or something like that, or Denmark. He's playing every week, so could be one of the radar for the Socceroos. Who knows? But yeah, we'll see. Anyway, this season, the nominees: Jake, Brandon O'Neill. Was the first player nominated this year back in October. He was followed by Josh Brolente in November, Jonathan Aspro in December from Western Sydney, Brandon Borello.
Yeah, go on, try and say his full name.
Asprotomedes. Asprotomedes in December, Brandon Borello in January, Paul Izzo from Central Coast in February, Riley McGree in March, Jamie McLaren was nominated in the last month of the season, and could go back-to-back. It wouldn't surprise me if it goes back-to-back, actually. Jake, of those seven players, outside of those seven players, who do you reckon was a bit hard done by not to get nominated this season?
Could have told.
I reckon probably off the top of my head, I'm thinking Joe Coletti, essentially.
Yeah.
Trent Bahajo in the early parts of the season, maybe.
The early parts of the season.
Maybe even Rion Tongic as well, early parts of the season, potentially. There wasn't too many young players that stood out. Ben Garuccio, maybe another one, but I think probably those are the seven players.
You could probably add someone like... I don't know how the system works.
23 and under.
Yeah, so you could probably add Gary into that, I reckon.
He's 24 now, isn't he?
Dog, he's 23 in the season, so. But other than that, realistically, like the players that have got in there, they're probably realistically are the
six or seven best
young players in the league. So there's not too many players that I could really take out of. Like, if they have to narrow it down to six or seven, then I reckon they've probably got that spot on, realistically.
McLaren, obviously, much talked about his situation this season, his contract situation, you know, his interest abroad. Won the Golden Boot alongside Berisha, 19 goals in 26 games is no easy feat. So he's done well. Riley McGree, obviously got that call up to the Socceroos, didn't play, but testament to his ability. Paul Izzo, like we've said, massive player for Central Coast this season, got that move to Adelaide. Barello, could be, I probably wouldn't have Barello winning this one, but he's a good young player. Aspro, one that you're a big fan of, I'm a big fan of, big future for him. Could be a shout for Western Sydney, a very good defence. Brillante and O'Neill, obviously, anchoring that midfield for a team that was easily the best team in the league this season, so there would also be a good shout. Jake, who wins it for you out of those seven? Who do you reckon is the player, the young footballer of the year?
It's easy just to say McLaren because he won the Golden Boot, but I'm going to go left field here and say Brandon O'Neill.
That was my option.
I do rate Brandon O'Neill very highly. He's sat in Sydney FC's in defensive midfield for Sydney FC all season, and he's been a very, very big part of them going through the whole season, only losing one game. So yeah, he's a very good young player. I don't think he gets the credit that he does deserve. So yeah, it's easy just to say McLaren's going to win it because he probably will realistically tied for Golden Boot, so McLaren probably will win it. But I'd like to see someone like Brandon O'Neill win it.
Just to let you know about how the process is made, I'm not sure exactly how many panel of expert people there are, but it says here at the end of the season, a panel of experts vote for an overall winner for both leagues. This is the women's league as well, using a 3-2-1 point basis. So three to who they think who was the best of those seven players, and two to the second best, and one to the third best. I'm going to say Brandon O'Neill is probably the favourite here. He was a massive part for Sydney FC this season. Brillante could be in the same boat, but I just think Brandon O'Neill, just a mainstay in that midfield, in a midfield that did control pretty much every game. And, you know, coming across from Perth, you know, surplus to requirements at Perth, and he's gone on and now arguably one of the most promising defensive midfielders in Australian football, especially in the A-League. Says a lot. It's a funny thing about Perth, isn't it? They let go of O'Neill, they let go of McLaren. Who knows what could have been for Perth, but they're not big fans of young talent, Perth, are they? But yeah, I'm going to go O'Neill. Brillante obviously has a case, but yeah, I think O'Neill probably the likely one. McLaren also probably come in a second. And I reckon they're going to give McGree a fair shout as well, just because he got that Socceroos call up, despite only playing, you know, half a season, realistically. But we'll see. We'll see, Jake, won't we?
We will see. Yeah, we definitely will.
Let's quickly touch on... Well, not quickly. I mean, we have a bit of time. We've got 20 minutes, Jake. But let's aim for about 15 minutes, why don't we? Let's talk about the teams that missed out on the finals this season. Starting off with the team that finished in 7th. Well, actually, no, it was the team that started in last place. Newcastle Jets finishing 10th. Three wins this season. I'm sure that's wrong. 5 wins, yep, this season. From 27 games, 15 losses. For you, were they the worst team this season?
No.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, I think you're going to say no.
Well, realistically, they deserve it. If they're going to take the foot off the pedal and play the football they played in the last 2 to 3 months of the season, then they deserve it. But overall, I'd have Adelaide as the worst team this season. But, they just took the foot off the pedal. They had a decent shout at potentially making a crack at the finals about 2 months ago. With about 7-8 games left in the season, they were only about 2 points off or 1 point off the finals, and then they just stopped. I know they did have tough-ish run home to the season, but you've still got to get some points for the games that you've got left. And I think they got something like 4 points from their last like 30 available, something like that.
2 points from their last 30.
Yeah. So that's two draws from 10 games. Yep. Which is ridiculous. That's not good enough in the slightest. And if you're going to do that to end the season, then you're going to end up having the tag of being the worst team in the league and getting the wooden spoon. So if you're going to turn out like that, then they deserve to finish last place. But I don't think they were overall the worst team this season.
What went right for them? Because obviously you talked about Naboo earlier in the season. And like we said, that he was pretty average towards the end of the season. But Naboo, in the grand scheme of things, was probably a bright spark. We looked at the likes pre-season, Devante Klut potentially having a breakout season. That didn't happen. He had, you know, patches early on where he looked like he could take that next step, but not quite. Andrew Hall, a young player in the side that, again, had patches, but, you know, composure and whatnot let him down a little bit. Apart from that, you really can't point out too many names that really stood up. Ugarkovic was good in parts. We saw, you know, Malele had a few good moments, but, you know, nothing consistently. And there just wasn't really a striker in the squad. They had Coco that played, but you know, he didn't do very well. And, you know, they just struggled for the most part.
Yeah, no, realistically, if you look at their squad, in my opinion, they had the worst squad this season. Like, they had a few good young players that could have stepped up and played, like, and got the results, like Naboo and stuff. But if you look at their overall squad, in my opinion, they've got the worst squad in the comp. Which, at the end of the day, it doesn't surprise you. They did finish last, but it's disappointing because they had a decent chance at finals. So they were doing things right. Like, they were getting good results throughout the season. I think they beat Brisbane 4-0 one stage this season. And they were getting some decent scalps. But then, in my opinion, the biggest disappointment this season from the A-League is Andrew Hall. He just doesn't look all there mentally. And it's just draining because he had a great season for Newcastle 3 years ago, 2 seasons ago. Then last season he went to Sydney, did absolutely nothing. Came back to this season and had a decent start to the season, but then he just didn't look good at all. And I think he got a decent spray on when he got dragged to the bench late in the season as well. But other than players like Naboo and at the start of the season, Klut, they've just not got much going for them, which is something that the new manager that they get will have to work out, because if they go into the season next year with a similar squad, then they're not going to make the finals again. So they've had a decent stint away from finals football as well. So they should probably try and work that out as soon as possible, Jordan.
Andrew Hall scoring 5 goals this season and assisting 2. Andrew Naboo scoring 8 and assisting 4. Naboo, yeah, much better stats, but Andrew Hall, I will just point out, created 62 shot assists. So he's assisted 62 shots and only 2 of those have gone in. So, I mean, you have to look around your teammates for that one.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Naboo created 24 shots and 4 of those went in. So, not bad. But yeah, I mean, Andrew Hall, I can agree. In my opinion, the biggest disappointment from the squad is Devante Klut. Now, that can be based on the fact that he didn't get much of a run. He played 18 games, only started 7. He scored 1 and assisted 2. But man, this is a guy that we watched at Brisbane totally dismantle Real Sociedad when they came down, scoring twice. And he has just not kicked on yet. I mean, he started the season all right. It looked like he was going to play a part this season and really kick on with his career. But, you know, he's just stagnated, whether that was a fitness issue or just a mentality or something. I'm not too sure, but just disappointing. And hopefully he does get a run more next season because, like I said and have said, you know, for the last year, he is one of the most promising young players in Australian football. So,
yeah.
we'll see what happens with him. If he can kick on with his career, Jake. What do you see for them next season? Do you reckon maybe a rise, or you know, they're just going to stagnate around the bottom of the table again?
It depends on what they do in the off-season. Like, it's difficult to say now, but if, like I said, if they go in with a similar squad next season, then they will do the exact same as what they've done this season. Like, they'll have a few promising signs, but I remember saying about 6, 7, or 8 games into the season that they were absolutely trash when they got absolutely demolished by Sydney FC at one stage. And then they had a good patch in the middle where they were getting decent results, and then they went back to their old selves at the end of the season. So if they do the same, if they do the same as what they've done this season, and they do that next season, then the same thing will happen. But if they change things, bring in a decent marquee, bring in a decent manager, and get a decent striker for one, then maybe things will change for them. But yeah, ending the season with a 5-0 loss, a 3-0 loss, a 2-0 loss, and a 2-0 loss, it doesn't look too good for them, and a 4-0 loss. It just doesn't look good for them in the slightest, and yeah, they definitely need to work that out.
Adelaide United, Jake, a team that has been much scrutinised for obvious reasons this season. Finishing 9th, 5 wins, 8 draws, 14 losses. Their last 10 games, they did pull 12 points out of a possible 30, which isn't that good realistically, but it's better than what they were doing for most of the season. Yeah, the Asian Champions League form, probably the only thing they're keeping them, you know, reputable at the moment. They've got a good squad, and like you said, they've Kruska, Sirio, Elrich obviously injured, Eugene Galekovic, Garuccio. They've got quality, but they just didn't click for most parts of the season, and you know, it's just a shame, realistically, like you said, a bit of a premiership hangover, you reckon? And it's hard to disagree with you on that front, because they really should have been challenging for a top six place, and instead, they're very lucky to escape the wooden spoon. So, a poor season from them, and yeah. What, do you take any positives out of the season at all?
From the overall team, no. Or maybe apart from their Champions League, they're doing well in the Champions League, but from the overall team, no. But from an individual player, Riley McGree's been a shining light for them. But it's just, you expect more from Adelaide United after the way that they were playing football last season under a ball. Like, it's difficult to put it into the right words, but they were playing similar style football to like a Barcelona, like the way they were knocking around the ball and stuff. But yeah, it's just like they had a really tough run to start the season with injuries. They had Sirio out, they had Karuska out. Early they lost players like Kamau as well, but yeah, it's just, I don't know, from an overall team perspective, they've been very bad, but Riley McGree has been a shining light for them, so it sort of evens itself out in the end. Like, I know a lot of their fans, they don't care. Like, their fans are still celebrating their title from last season, but I'm sure they'll be expecting a lot more next season from them.
A big issue for Adelaide this season was their goals. They scored 25 goals in 27 games, which is just not good enough. We look at the likes of Diawara came in. I thought he did a reasonable job in his however many games he played. He only scored 3 goals. Now, I think we're probably getting a bit ahead of ourselves because he was more of a Champions League player. I mean, he's done well in the Champions League. But apart from him, the goals were very hard to come by. And, you know, you have to look at like the Sirio and Karuska. Probably, you know, like I said, Sirio injured this season. But Karuska only scored, I think it was 2 goals this season. Sirio scoring 1 or 2. Like, they just didn't have a goal threat. And it's a shame because DOI came in, did a good job. Who they before that? They had Guardiola.
Yeah, Guardiola.
Who did absolutely nothing. Average. So, yeah, I think they just struggled. I mean, it would have been nice if Gite was there. Like, even if, although Gite is old, he's not at the level he used to be, he's a good striker still. And he would have provided, you know, a bit more than Guardiola.
If they had Gite there, they would have done a lot better. And if that, well, it's easy to say, but if they kept Jitte and Kamau, then it's a completely different story, in my opinion.
Yeah. Obviously, losing the likes of Craig Goodwin as well, had a breakout season last season, was not helpful either. But I think Adelaide next season will be back to their best, in my opinion. They'll lose Galekovic, but they'll replace him with Izzo. I'm sure that they'll sign. Let me easy ahead of ourselves, but I reckon they'll sign some big name player. Well, not big name, but marquee from Spain or something like that that will perform.
I heard that Luis Suarez bloke does all right, so he might be able to score a few goals for him.
Luis Suarez. I mean, they need a striker, so. but yeah, hopefully for their sake that they do get back to their best next season. But be interesting to see the Champions League run, if they can continue it now that the season's over and just focus on Champions League and see if they can kick on and do something with it. Be good to see. We'll move on to Central Coast Mariners. They came eighth this season. A positive season, Jake, in my opinion, from them, because they had patches and games where they were really, really good. And you have to think back early on in the season where just their young players were just clicking. Just on a quiet note, Central Coast Mariners 45 minutes ago tweeted, Mariners have parted ways with Ivan Nesevsky. So, I'm not going to sit here and complain about that one, Jake, if you listened to our podcast about a month ago. But yeah, a few good results in here, Jake, a few bad results in here, signs of a young team. And we've gone on and on about how young their team is. Literally, probably about 7 of their starting 11 were playing youth league maybe 2 years ago. All of them together for the youth league. So, obviously, they've had pretty much, this is their first season. Last season, some of them did get a run around, but this season is probably the first season where they've all played together consistently. And I think they'll be better for it. I think next season we'll see the likes of Central Coast really move up and potentially push for a final spot with all these young players having another season under their belt. You know, they've got quality everywhere, potential quality everywhere. Izzo's obviously gone, but look at the likes of Liam Rose, has a big future. Storm Roos, still young, he's got a big future. Trent Bahaja, Adam Berry, just, you know, good young players. Scott Galloway, still youngish. And I'm not sure if Nick Montgomery is sticking around. I've heard he's not. So they need to replace him. But I reckon if they can get maybe one or two more experienced players in there just to lead the charge for the young players, I reckon it'd be a decent shout. I think they've signed Sirio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think so.
So he'd be a very good player for them. Just to help the likes of Bahaja, especially, playing a very similar role. And it'd be very exciting for Central Coast fans to have Sirio on one wing and Bahaja on the other. Obviously, they've just lost Roy O'Donovan, so that's not good, but they will have to replace him. And who knows, maybe Bahaja will play striker. Yeah, well, Sirio can play striker. You just don't know, Jake. Just the opportunities are endless. but obviously, a fair few positives to take out of the season, Jake. I'll be interested to hear what you think their positives were.
Oh, they had a fair few positives, in my opinion. I know they only finished eighth and everything, but they're streets ahead of what they were this time 12 months ago. They were just very smart with some signings that they made. Like, Connor Payne was a very good signing for them. But at the same time, you look at it and you think, imagine if they had Connor Payne on the left and Mitch Austin on the right and O'Donovan in the middle, maybe it could have been a different story for them. So you take the bad or the good, or the good with the bad, whatever way you want to look at it. But they're an exciting team, but like we spoke about pre-podcast, just disappointing that they've lost Paul Izzo back to Adelaide again, because if they had have kept Izzo and they had have signed another young centre-back and a decent young number 10 and a really good central midfield marquee or a striker marquee or something like that, you just look at it and you think maybe they could push on to finals next year. I still think they won't make finals next year, but they've just got to keep trying to slowly improve every single season. So this year they're going to lose a fair few players. They're going to lose Cody Donovan, Izzo, Montgomery. They could lose a few others, but then they need to go out and sign. Maybe, in my opinion, they should go out and sign Eugene Kolakovic from Adelaide. I know Adelaide win out from that, in my opinion, but at the same time, Kolakovic is a decent goalkeeper and a proven goalkeeper in the A-League, so I think he could be a good goalkeeper for Central Coast. Then they could go out and sign like a Danny De Silva or something like that, but then they just need, I think, to find anyone to scour the world like Sydney FC did for Bobo and just find a really, really good, solid number nine and just sit him at number nine and like basically play him as a target man so he can lay off players like Connor Payne and Bahaja and anyone that they sign, but also can bang in 10 to 15 goals for them in a season. Because it's big that they've lost Roy O'Donovan, but at the same time, I don't think Roy O'Donovan is like a world-class player. Like, he's not going to... I highly, highly doubt. There's too many Central Coast fans that are losing sleep over the fact that they've lost him. But they just need to stick to what they've done. Like, you look throughout the like the A-League history and stuff, and they've had some of the best players in A-League history at the club. They've had the likes of Jedinak, Rogic, Ryan, Wilkinson, Sainsbury, Amini. So if they keep sticking to what they do, they're going to find them. They're going to find similar players again. And in my opinion, they should be trying to throw the book at Jedinak and give Jedinak the marquee spot. I don't know if Jedinak would do it, but if there's this genuine chance, I think that they should be throwing as much marquee money as possible at Jedinak and give him the armband and throw him in at defensive mid. Because it'd give them a lot of experience. And
Jedinak's still
a decent player. And it'll bring fans, bring back a player who used to play for them in their glory days and stuff like that. So I think if I'm...
It'll help the likes of their younger players massively.
Exactly. Well. Imagine Jedinak sitting alongside like a Liam Rose in defensive mid or something like that.
And then imagine how much experience... Well.
Yeah, exactly. So,
and if they sign Danny De Silva, just play him in front of Jedinak, I mean, beautiful.
So there's so much, like, I'm talking about Central Coast so much more positively than what I am about Newcastle, because Central Coast are looking in the right direction. Newcastle just look like they're just going, oh, we'll sign a few good players, but we're not going to do anything. But Central Coast look like they have an actual plan. And a manager like Paul Okon as well is perfect for that as well. I think Paul Okon has been one of the, you can't really call it a signing, but I think... I'm going to call it signing anyway. I think he has been one of the signings of the season. The way Paul Okon's given youth a chance at Central Coast, but also made them play some very good football. Because if you look throughout the whole season, they had a genuine chance at ending Sydney FC's unbeaten streak. They could, like, I think it was like around like midway through the season, they made it 2-2. But then Sydney FC scored an offside goal. But then in like the 90th minute, Central Coast hit the post. If the offside goal is given offside and their shot in the 90th minute hits the post and goes in, they win 3-2 and they end Sydney FC's unbeaten streak. So it's just those little things. Like, I know they lost 16 games this season, so it doesn't look too good. But a lot of those 16 losses, like, I reckon you could at least pinpoint about 5-6 of those. They should have at least got a point or two, a point or three from. So, like, five of those draws, I reckon there's probably about one or two of those that they could have quite easily got a win from. So, it's just the little things. They've got to fine-tune the little things. The disappointing thing is that they couldn't go on with it at the end of the season. And they were in a little bit of a wooden spoon battle at the end of the season. So, that is very disappointing from their perspective. But there are a lot of positive things going on at Central Coast right now. So,
well, yeah, hopefully... They drew with Sydney this season.
Yeah, exactly. They're back a very good March. Team.
Well, last year.
Yeah, if people look at the ladder and look at Central Coast finishing 8th with 16 losses, I think, oh, they were average this year. But they, in my opinion, they were very, very unlucky to lose a lot of those games, like I just said. And, like, I remember New Year's Eve, you being at my house, and that 2-2 draw they had with Melbourne City. It was a very exciting game to watch. And the football they were playing. Yeah, the football they were playing then was... ridiculous. It was great to watch. They beat Perth a few times. They had a drought where they didn't keep a clean sheet for like 35 games in a row or something. And then you could see how much it meant to the players when they kept that clean sheet and everything like that. So I know they only kept like 2-3 clean sheets this season, but it's still
in the right direction.
Yeah, they don't need to go bang and make the finals this year. Even next year, they don't need to go bang and make the finals. But if they just continue to make those baby steps and bring in some good young players and develop them, I think the glory days will come back to Central Coast very, very shortly.
Last team we'll have a look at quickly before we move on to a quick preview, Jake Wellington Phoenix. Received our fair share of flack this season for not deserving a spot in the A-League. they've lost Rolly Bonavartia to Western Sydney, I believe. Big loss. Arguably their best player. Durante, I think he says, retired. Sigmund's not there. Finkler's getting a little bit past it at the moment. Still offers a little bit. Barbarousis, obviously a class player. And Roy the Fijian Monkey Krishna carried, basically, the entire New Zealand. Smeltz as well is gone. So their squad's looking a bit thin. They've obviously got good depth because of, you know, they're all New Zealand-based players. Basically, the New Zealand national team playing for Wellington Phoenix, apart from their best players. But positive signs. I mean, they had pretty good season in regards to they only missed out on finals by 6 points. A few good results in there. Most notably, that 3-0 win 2 weeks ago against Victory.
And the 3-0 win at home against Victory.
Yeah, well, I enjoyed beating Victory. They also drew at home to Sydney 1-1. So, but they've had some good results in there. And I mean, unfortunately, they missed the finals. But, you know, it's a step in the right direction again for Wellington Phoenix. I mean, their crowd figures weren't the best again. the future of them in the A-League is still up in the air. So, I mean, you know, watch this space, see if they're even here next season. But they should be, but, I mean, we'll see. But, yeah, I mean, there's not so much you can say about Wellington Phoenix, to be honest. You know, they had good moments, had bad moments, just an inconsistent team that slightly missed out in the finals. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to say what they're going to do next season because they're probably going to keep a similar squad. And
Similar enough, yeah.
I mean, how much can they really change to it, to be honest?
Yeah, definitely. They're very, I don't know what to say, Wellington. They're a very weird team, but I had them to make finals this year going on their squad. I was just looking at my ladder prediction for this season. I had them finishing sixth, which realistically, they finished seventh, so I wasn't too far off. The football they played when they were on was very, very good. Like, I'm not going to beat around bush with that. Like, the football they played when they beat Victory twice and they were getting some results. And in my opinion, 2 weeks ago, they should have beaten Sydney FC as well. So when they were on, they were playing some very good football. But they, like I said earlier as well, when I had a little mini review on Wellington earlier, they need that sort of no-bullshit centre-back with the armband that takes control of everything. Like they've had Durante and Sigmund doing that for a fair few years. But they haven't really replaced those two and it's just difficult and their crowd numbers, it's disappointing to see with their crowd numbers as well. So it's difficult for the players, in my opinion, to get up for games as well when 1 week they're playing in Melbourne in front of 25,000 people and they're playing in Sydney in front of 15,000 people, but then they go home and they're playing in front of 4,000 or 5,000 people in a 35,000-seat stadium. I think that's a bit degrading for the players as well. But the main thing that Wellington need to do, and like I said earlier, they've basically got no chance of signing someone like a Winston Reid or a Chris Wood or something like that. But they just need that sort of marquee player that will bring people through the gates. And once they get that sort of big marquee sort of player that's well known to the New Zealand fans and stuff like that, then maybe New Zealand does have a place, Wellington do have a place in the A-League and stuff. But right now it's just disappointing to see. Like, I've been turned off watching A-League games in Wellington this season because, for one, I hate the commentators. And they do my head in, but it's just they don't have, like, their attack's great. Watching players like Barbarousis, Finkler, Krishna Bonavasia do their thing. It's great to watch when they're clicking, but it's just there's not much that attracts me to watching a team play in front of 4,000 people in a 35,000-seat stadium. Like, if I wanted to go watch teams play in front of small crowds, I'd go watch South Melbourne every week or something like that. So, it's just, I don't know. Hopefully, for their sake, they can pick things up and they can go on with it, because I wanted them to stay in the A-League this time 12 months ago. I was happy that they got their new deal and stuff, their new contract or whatever it is. But they haven't really stuck to what they sort of promised the FFA. And if the FFA offered them a one-year contract, I reckon the FFA would tear up their license right now. Mm. So it's disappointing to see, but hopefully for their sake, they can sort it out. They can make some decent signings. It's not a bad season, realistically. They got 30 points, which that doesn't get you finals in the A-League, but 30 points isn't absolutely horrendous when you look at it from the grand scheme of things. Like, it could be a lot worse, but I don't know, they're there, but they're not, if that makes sense. Like, they've got their team, they've got some decent players, but they're just not producing anything good. Like I said, 30 points isn't bad when you look at it. Sydney FC last season got 34 points, but I can't see well into next season going and being unbeaten for 26 out of 27 games. But if they can keep some players, they'll be right. I could see them making a crack at finals. And the one thing that did derail their season early on was losing their manager. But there's only so much you can say on Wellington. Like, they'll have good players next season, but will they be able to make finals? Who knows? That's literally the story of every single season for Wellington in the A-League.
Let's quickly just have a look at the couple of finals this weekend, Jake. Treating it like it's nothing, but Brisbane Roar, they host Western Sydney Wanderers tomorrow night, so exciting.
Hopefully they can get a big crowd.
Yeah, they should, realistically. The Wanderers have only won one of their last seven games at Suncorp Stadium, earning a 4-1 win back in March 2015. Three of Brisbane Roar's last six A-League finals fixtures have been against Western Sydney. And they've only won one of them. So, interesting game. In store for us, Jake, West Sydney, not the favourites through our friends about 365, but they seem like a lot of people are getting behind them in this one. Personally, I think Brisbane's going to win this. Only just. But I think Brisbane have really, towards the tail end of the season, showing their class. Jay McLaren's just in form, and Western Sydney finished sixth for a reason, despite undefeated in their last five games. I think Brisbane will get the chocolates.
Yeah, well, I think it's one of those ones where if it was the other way around, if it was at Western Sydney, I think Western Sydney would win. But because it's in Brisbane, and we've both been saying all season how good Brisbane and Perth are at home, but how poor they are away from home, I just can't go against Brisbane, especially in the finals. Brisbane, no matter how bad they could be throughout a season and stuff, they always, no matter what, step up in finals. And they were looking to get a bit of revenge on last season as well, because this was a semi-final last season when Western Sydney won 4-3 or 5-4, I think it was. So, they'll be wanting to get a bit of revenge on that one too.
And that was a crazy game, that one.
I can see this one going to extra time. I think Brisbane will be the better team, but Western Sydney will sort of just try and hang in there. But I reckon the class of players like McLaren, Breach, Holman, Borrello will just overshine Western Sydney in the end. But I wouldn't be surprised if Western Sydney won, but I'd be very surprised if Brisbane don't get the win here. And it'd be good to see what sort of crowd they get, because not trying to have a dig at Brisbane here, but their fans do tend to only turn up for finals. So hopefully they can get a crowd maybe in the mid-20s. Like, in all fairness, they've had decent crowds this season. But, I think they should be getting, one. Like, there's one team in the whole of Queensland, so I think they should be getting better membership numbers and better crowds, but I think hopefully if they can get like a 20,000 to 25,000 crowd, I think that'd be very good for the city of Brisbane and for the spectacle of the final as well.
Just a quick one, Jay McLaren, one of the most informed players in the competition, has actually scored 8 goals in his last 7 games against Western Sydney. So he could be a peripheral player.
I wonder if Sportsbet are doing a sort of like bet for Brisbane to win after extra time and McLaren to score or something like that. I'd definitely put some cash on that.
You heard it here first. The last game that we'll talk about today in this podcast is the second final, Jake. Melbourne City hosting Perth Glory. Interesting game. After our antiques we watched on the weekend, let's hope we're in for a 5-4. 37 goals scored in the last 7 games between these two teams. Perth Glory winning 3 times in that span and losing twice. Perth have scored 6 goals in their last 2 visits to Amy Park to face Melbourne City, going undefeated in those 2 fixtures. So, could be a danger
game. It's
going to
be a very
good
game.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the last time these two teams played at Amy was the 3-3 draw, and the one prior to that was the 2-3 win to Perth. So, the game of the season was the last time these two teams played. So, let's hope we're in store for another similar game. I think City's going to win this one, but in saying that, Perth, if there's any place in Australia, so that they like travelling to and they do get results at, it's Amy Park against Melbourne City. So, potentially a very dangerous game for City.
I'm going to stay in the same boat as what I said with the Brisbane game. I think it's going to go. I think City will win in extra time.
Cahill, who else?
Realistically, probably will be Cahill. He likes stepping up on a big stage to get a crucial goal. But I reckon it's going to be a great game of football. Both teams have reasonably weak defences, but both teams have a very, very good attack. So it could go either way. Like, let's be honest, it's finals football. Anything could happen. I could see City winning 3-2 on extra time. I think their class will just overshine Perth in the end. And like I said earlier when talking about the Brisbane game, we've said all season about the whole Brisbane and Perth being good at home and bad away. So I'm just going to keep sticking with that. Brisbane will win at home and Perth will lose away.
Well, that's all she wrote, Jake, in this one. She wrote it.
She did.
We will be back soon. I think for the Premier League tomorrow.
Yeah, probably.
Have a great weekend watching the A-League finals, and we'll speak to you then.
Have a nice.